And as understandably as Christians we smile, we should remind ourselves that over 1 billion human beings redeemed by the blood of Christ believe in nirvana. In classic Buddhism, nirvana, or the destiny of man, is that final hope after perhaps thousands of reincarnations, which most of the 2 billion people, not just the Buddhists, believe in, that our present existence is only, as with Buddha, perhaps the 100,000th existence we have had, and there may be another 100,000 awaiting us. But Buddha, and that's why he became a great emancipator of the Oriental world, he promised his followers, if they properly behave themselves, a final deliverance from those multi-thousand reincarnations, that they would finally reach what he called nirvana. In historic Buddhism, nirvana means extinction. What then is the highest prospect for a learned Buddhist as he anticipates a nirvanic destiny? And if you will think a little strange for me to spend a few minutes on, what shall we call it, the heaven of Buddhism, it's not strange at all, besides that I teach the subject. It is to impress us with the great gift of our faith that otherwise than hundreds of millions of our fellow human beings, we look forward to not just something but someone as the goal of our existence. Historic Buddhism looks forward to an extinction where all the sufferings of this life, or for the believing Buddhists, by then perhaps 50,000 lives, will finally end. What is the highest hope of the believing Buddhists? The cessation of pain, because he as a person will cease to exist. What a prospect, we say. Prospect. And yet after over 19 centuries, most of this Oriental world has not yet been given, because it has not yet been preached, the faith of Christ, in which we believe. So then, it is not only that there will be no more death or pain, a Buddhist looks forward to that. But we believe that heaven means, before all else and for all eternity, the face-to-face vision of God. If this tends to leave us somewhat cold, let us reflect that this vision means seeing into the goodness and greatness and infinite beauty of God. It means elevating our most ecstatic moments, and we've all had them, 10,000 times in intensity, and extending them beyond temporal duration everlastingly. It means multiplying all earthly joys of all human beings and raising these joys immeasurably. It means enjoying God as far as creatures can, and this is the mystery. And after we spend hours in class trying to explain the mystery, we end up where we began. Enjoying God as far as creatures can, as God enjoys Himself. Which must be indescribable, since look at all the pleasures and enjoyments of the human race since the beginning of time, and they are all as a drop of water compared to the ocean of God's beatitude. The Holy City. Heaven will be a society. In John's words, the Holy City, the New Jerusalem. This means that in heaven we shall know our own. Well, there will, of course, be all sorts of newcomers that we had never met before. Nevertheless, our own from earth, our father and mother, brothers and sisters, I have never known my father. He died when I was a year old. He was 26. I never had any brothers or sisters. So the Lord will somehow have to make up for that. But relatives and friends, fellow religious, and you would expect me to say this, and students, those we have cared for and perhaps nursed, those we have counseled and confided in a word, heaven is a community. What kind of a community? Where love will unite everyone in the most affectionate harmony. Where envy will have ceased, and our joy will be increased to see the joys of the others. Now this is something which we can strive after, we hear about, and we struggle. We think we've gained a little bit, but oh, how hard it is to really, really enter into other people's joys so that our joy is actually increased, doubled, tripled, a thousandfold, because we are so happy to see others happy. that we share, literally, in their beatitude. This, by the way, is one of the experiences that I trust we have all begun to approximate as we gradually master the tyrant of envy. We seldom think of this, and we are slow to admit this. But not a small part of our not being as happy as we might be in this life, I say might be, is that we do not sufficiently enter into, share in, and experience through the sharing the joys of others. What massive folly! How do you explain this? We can actually be saddened to see someone happy, as though that person's happiness somehow deprives us of what we should enjoy, when as a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. As those who have struggled to conquer envy all know, it is then a community where jealousy will have disappeared. You know the difference, don't you, between envy and jealousy? Envy is what somebody else has that, well, I'm kind of sorry that I don't have. Jealousy is something that I have that I keep to myself and I don't want to share. Jealousy then in heaven will have disappeared, and we shall want to share what we have and find increased joy in giving. Both. And I want to be practical. Heaven is not only something we are looking forward to. Heaven should be something we ought to even now have a foretaste of. Meaning that insofar as we have learned, and experience here is the best teacher, that by overcoming our envy, which is the sadness at another person's joy, and have overcome our jealousy, which is the fear that by sharing we shall lose, as we conquer both passions, we shall learn that even in this life, we can be very, very happy. In the one case, by joining in the joys of others. In the other, by giving and giving and giving. Heaven is also, in spite of our imagination, a cluster of families, because we have in the nature of things been involved in all sorts of communitarian situations. In heaven, intimacies will be shared. Those we have loved on earth will be loved with a generosity not possible here, but also where many others will be found. Oh, that's a safe statement. Persons whom we shall come to know and love, spanning by then the centuries of time, Abraham and David, Moses and Elijah, Mary and Joseph, the apostles, the evangelists, Augustine and Aquinas. I've got a lot of questions to ask them. Teresa and Catherine of Siena, the founders and foundresses of our respective communities, and the great luminaries that on earth had followed our way of life. A short epilogue. John the Evangelist, who was surely a mystic, was also a realist, or better, Christ, who revealed the apocalypse, bade him in what are almost the last words of the Bible, just about at the very end, listen. Happy are those who will have washed their robes clean, so that they will have a right to feed on the tree of life, and can come through the gates into the city. Unquote Jesus, revealing heaven to John. Most people, I feel safe in saying, including us, who reach heaven, are repentant sinners. He will have had to have washed our robes clean. They must have repented. And the best repentance for the past is the resolution of a new future. The prize, and we repeat Christ's words, is a right. It is the right to come through the gates into the city on high that awaits us, provided we have, anticipating the glory, have been willing to carry the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.